Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
Welcome back. You're listening to WLS AM 890. This is Sports Talk Chicago. I am Joey Christopoulos. Happy Saturday, Chicago. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. The weather's getting warmer. Hopefully you're driving to see some friends, some family, or maybe you're just driving to work right now. Anyways, I deeply appreciate the listen right here on WLS AM 890. In the next 20 minutes or so, the final half hour of our show, I'm going to reveal my all-quarter century teams for the Chicago White Sox and the Chicago Cubs, the 21st century list. This has been running around on social media. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, I highly recommend you drop down in the comments whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong, or what your list is, because this stuff is fun. I'm going to start actually with the Chicago White Sox on this one. And the Chicago White Sox, I will tell you, was easier than the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs was actually pretty hard. And when you dive into it, there have been a couple holes at certain positions for the Chicago Cubs for many, many years that I don't think I paid enough attention to. But when you start really diving in, you're like, oh man, who really is the best at this position since the year 2000 and on for the Chicago Cubs? For the White Sox, it was a little bit easier. We're going to start in the outfield, and we're going to start at left field. And this one was tough, right? And now, keep in mind here, I'm strictly looking at this from a concept of production. There is a little bit of an element of how long they did it for the franchise, specifically the White Sox. Talent, who simply was the best player. And in this case, left field, I'm going to give it to Carlos Lee. El Caballo. And I know a lot of people are thinking, second place definitely was Scott Posednik, Scotty Pods. And I want to give him a lot of credit for what he did in the World Series, and specifically that World Series season. I don't think they get near a whiff of winning a championship without Scotty Pods at the top of that lineup, stealing bases, getting on base. But again, when you look at it, he really kind of only did it for 1 year. Yes, he played several years for the White Sox, but by that second year, he started to struggle a little bit. His effect wasn't exactly the same. The fact that he did what he did in the World Series, namely hitting a walk-off home run in Game 2, one of the greatest moments in Chicago White Sox history and in my sports life, I think that alone gets him to second place. But when you're looking at Carlos Lee, we're talking a guy with multiple years of 30 home runs. This guy was an RBI machine. Now, granted, maybe defensively he wasn't exactly what you wanted. What's funny and ironic about these selections is that they were traded for each other. And this was the type of attitude or lineup adjustment that the White Sox needed at that time because they were a little power heavy. But Carlos, for me, is that left fielder. I think he was the best of that time. Let's go to center field. Center field is a little bit more difficult. Center field... it's kind of been an enigma for the White Sox for many years. You know, you had Alex Rios. You had Dwayne Wise. You had Brian Anderson. In second place, I am going to give it to Aaron Rowan. Now, Aaron Rowan, for the most part, had two really good seasons with the White Sox. I think the bummer of this situation is that, obviously, he was traded for Jim Thome. And once Jim Thome came over, Aaron Rowan went off to Philadelphia and had a couple more really sterling years that if he had had them in Chicago, he might be my number one. But honestly, I have to give this one to Luis Robert Jr. right now. Luis Robert Jr., who, by the way, is currently hitting 180. Luis Robert Jr., who in 2020 was a fantastic player. Luis Robert Jr., who did put up one amazing season in a White Sox uniform. Talent-wise, it is pretty undisputable that he is more talented than Aaron Rowan. better center fielder, even though Aaron Rowan would throw his body around like crazy. Luis Robert has the speed, the strength, and the athleticism that is, I just think, better than Aaron Rowan. Even hitting 180 right now, Luis Robert Jr. is still leading the major leagues with 20 stolen bases. So I got Carlos Lee, I got Luis Robert Jr. in center field. When we're looking at right field, again, a tough one because I love this guy. Second place, I love Jermaine Dye. JD was a great baseball player for the Chicago White Sox. Not only was he a great player the World Series season, not only was he a great player in the World Series, oh ho hum, the MVP, hits a home run off of Roger Clemens in game one, and then follows it up that next year with 40-plus home runs and absolutely dominates. But I have to give this to Magleor Ordóñez. And for those of you that might not remember, Magleor Ordóñez, homegrown kid, drafted into the organization by general manager Ron Shuler. Outside of Frank Thomas, I think Magleor Ordóñez might be the most talented White Sox hitter I've ever seen in my life. Magleor Ordóñez would hit you 320, 330. He would hit you 35 home runs. He would drive in 120 runs. He would hit you 40 doubles. I mean, he was as offensively prolific as you're going to find in any player. And to his credit, he took the money and went to Detroit. There were a lot of rumors back then, a lot of concerns about Magleor Ordóñez's knee, which is maybe why the White Sox didn't sign him up long term. I think it worked out for both parties. Jermaine Dye ended up coming over to the White Sox a year or two later. We won a World Series. Magleor Ordóñez got paid. His knee did give him problems. He put up a couple good seasons with Detroit, and they moved on. But man, I have some power right now in the outfield with my all-century, 21st century White Sox team. Left field, Carlos Lee. Right, center field, Luis Robert Jr. And right field, Magleor Ordóñez. Let's go to the infield. Man, third base. Third base for the Chicago White Sox is pretty tough. You had a pop-up season from Todd Frazier. You had a couple good years from Jose Valentin. You had 1.5 good years from Yoan Moncada. You had a mediocre season or two from Josh Fields. You had Kevin Youkilis there. You had Matt Davidson there. There was a lot going on at the third base position. So in the end, I just went with who I felt like is the best player. And honestly, the best player who did it the longest at the position, which is only maybe 3 or 4 years. And I went with good old-fashioned Joe Creede. Joe Creede, for those of you young heads out there, you might not remember the World Series team. Joe Creede is one of the better third basemen I can honestly remember seeing in a White Sox uniform and maybe in my life. Not much got by Joe Creede. He had a great arm, knew how to pick it. Defensively, he was top-notch. And for about 2.5 seasons, Joe Creede also could hit you for some power. And Joe Creede was clutch. And Joe Creede was a fan favorite. I think that one's pretty easy. And funny enough, our outfield right now, as it stands, no World Series teams. Joe Creede, first member of the World Series team, into the quarter century all-time White Sox list. Shortstop, a lot of guys to choose from. This one was difficult. This one wasn't the toughest one. Oh, you know what the tough one is. That one's coming up in a second. But I think one of the tougher ones was shortstop because they did get good shortstop play for the most part over the last 25 years in the White Sox organization. Not on the current roster, but I digress. Jose Valentin took over the position for a couple years, did really well. Juan Uribe, obviously, a little polarizing. But again, Juan Uribe, for all of his unconventional style, his manner of playing, he got the job done. His batting stance was always a little off. He didn't always maybe fundamentally field the baseball or throw it from the correct angle. But man, did he always get the job done. And in that 2005 season, he was a great shortstop for us. Made some huge plays. And then, of course, Alexi Ramirez. Alexi Ramirez almost won this position just based out of the consistency that he brought to the table for many years for a White Sox organization on a lot of mediocre mid-White Sox teams. We always thought that we could get a little bit more out of Alexi. But in general, Alexi, 270 hitter, 10 to 14 home runs, 60 to 75 RBIs, and did that pretty regularly for seven, eight seasons. And he gets the second place spot because here, I'm going to tell you, I still have Tim Anderson as the best shortstop for the Chicago White Sox of the last 25 years. And I hear you. The way it ended was shocking. Did not see that. Did not have that on my bingo card of Tim Anderson flaming out as quickly as he did. But you cannot take away that for four straight seasons, Tim Anderson hit over 300. One of those years hit 335. Tim Anderson was the catalyst at the top of those teams that did win 90-plus games once, did have a strong season in the shortened year of 2020. Tim Anderson was the face of the franchise. I thought Tim Anderson was a superstar, and I thought Tim Anderson at the time, and I said it on shows that I was doing, was cruising towards being a player that was going to make $100 million. And it just never happened. And it fell apart so quickly. And what can I say? That's the power of bat speed, I suppose. When it declines, it can really change what you can and can't do at the plate. But Tim Anderson, I'm going to say it. Four straight years of all-star level play. Field of Dreams game. At the time, face of the franchise. Could have been possibly the face of the league. I think he's the best shortstop of the Chicago White Sox of the last 25 years. I'm going with him. Second base. Man, I'll tell you this one right now. Second base. It ain't coming from anybody who played second base for the Chicago White Sox the last 15 years. Because, man, the revolving door of people that they've had there, the way that they've punted on that, Jeff Kepinger, Harrison. I mean, God, like, just keep going down the list. A lot of people want to gravitate towards Tadahito Iguchi in this one, and I hear you. Tadahito, that one year, that World Series year, played great baseball, was solid the year after, and then shortly thereafter was out of baseball. I'm going to go all the way back in the Wayback Machine. I'm going Ray Durham on this one. Now, Ray Durham, when he was called up, a lot of people thought in this town, and I remember the narrative very well, they said that he could possibly be the next Ryan Sandberg. Now, that quite didn't happen, but Ray Durham, switch hitter, would steal you 30 bags, pop you 9 to 17 home runs, and put up multiple seasons where he hit at least 290. He was a good player. He was a good two-hitter. And for me, when you look at it, I'm putting Ray Durham there at second base. The catching position, I don't need to go into this one. It's A.J. Pierzynski, full stop. Don't even get me started. Don't throw Yasmani Grandal at me or Tyler Flowers or Brooke Fordyce, Miguel Olivo. The list goes on. You can't convince me of anything. A.J. was born to wear the White Sox uniform and for several seasons was a solid player. And hitting that 5-6-7 hole was clutch. Handled the pitching staff. A.J., I didn't even really consider anybody else in this particular category. This was A.J.'s to win or lose. DH position and first base. Now, here's what you have to understand about this. Frank Thomas is not on my list. And the reason for that is that if you go back, this is a 21st century team. And Frank, granted, has two incredible years. One of them, MVP caliber, the 2000 team. And then put up another strong season a couple years after that. But by the time the World Series team came around, Frank had torn his triceps. Frank was hurt. Frank was getting less at-bats. And he just didn't quite put up the numbers in the 21st century that I felt like qualified him for this list. Do I think he's the greatest White Sox player of all time? I do. But that mostly happened from 1989 all the way through the 90s, put together an amazing decade, won those back-to-back MVPs. Could have won more if it wasn't for the strike in 94. But I'll be honest, Frank Thomas is not on my list. So at DH, I have to put on there Jim Thome. If you look at what Jim Thome did in a White Sox uniform, all he did was hit bombs and produce year after year and did it for about 5 years. Jim Thome also has that incredible towering solo blast that he hits in the blackout game that sends the White Sox to the playoffs. That honestly, I know that this last iteration with Tim Anderson and Tony La Russa, I know they both went to the playoffs twice. They only won one of those playoff games. So if you're playing it out, since the World Series, that Jim Thome moment is probably one of the greatest playoff moments or one of the shining star moments of the White Sox of the last 20 years. Jim Thome is my DH. And then finally at first base, can't be Frank Thomas. It really comes down to Jose Abreu and Paul Konerko. And honestly, you could argue both of them one way or the other, and I probably wouldn't fight you too hard on it. But I'm going Paul Konerko. This one's easy. This dude deserves a statue. Paul Konerko, one of the most beloved sports athletes, I think, in Chicago history, at least in my lifetime. Paul Konerko, year in and year out, just came in and did his job. Incredibly clutch, obviously Grand Slam in the World Series, won a World Series. There were moments when he was going to sign with the Arizona Diamondbacks, came back to the Chicago White Sox, stayed loyal through and through till the very end, professional all the way, one of the best leaders you're ever going to want. And I'll never forget, too, there were some down moments for Paul Konerko at times in his career, where offensively he went into deep, deep slumps. And this was early on, but somehow he was able to right the ship, iron it out, and become consistent. And that gave me hope. That gave me hope that, you know, a player, just because he goes into a slump, doesn't necessarily turn into that guy. You know, Tim Anderson went into that slump, never came back. Paul Konerko dug his way out of slumps, had a long, wonderful career. Paul Konerko is my first baseman. So for the offense, catcher, A.J. Pierzynski, third base, Joe Creedy, shortstop, Tim Anderson, second base, Ray Durham, first base, Paul Konerko, DH, Jim Thome. My closer, this one's pretty easy. Keith Foulke put together a lot of good years early on in the 2000s. They just didn't win a ton with Keith Foulke. This is Bobby Jenks. Bobby Jenks had multiple seasons of 40-plus saves. He had the body. He had the persona. He had the attitude. And, oh, yeah, he came on just at the right time as they were chasing down a World Series as one of the great teams, not just in Chicago sports, but one of the great Major League Baseball playoff runs in Major League Baseball history. Bobby Jenks is my closer. In terms of the starting rotation, this is going to sound like I'm playing a little chalk here, but I think the easy one is Chris Sale. Chris Sale may be the most talented pitcher I've ever seen in a White Sox uniform. Blackjack McDowell was really good. Alex Fernandez was really good. Even Jason Bray had a ton of talent, but nobody could throw the ball like Chris Sale. Chris Sale's got to be in my top five. Mark Burley is an easy call. Freddy Garcia is an easy call. And you know what? I got to do it. I'm throwing Jose Contreras in there too as well. And I'm going to throw John Garland. I'm throwing them all in. John Danks, Lance Lynn. I mean, Dylan Cease is an incredibly talented pitcher, but really only had one incredibly elite season for the Chicago White Sox. And then they traded him. They traded mostly talent on that. But Chris Sale and then the four starters from the World Series team, sign me up. What they did against the Anaheim Angels at the time, Los Angeles Angels at the time, it's not going to be repeated. Four straight complete game wins, just not going to happen again. That gets onto my list. And that's my Chicago White Sox 21st century team.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.